Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on State of Our Workforce. Each month, we take a journey together into the heart of workforce innovation and explore how to build an equitable workforce. My name is Michelle Wilson, and I am the Director of Evaluation and Learning at the National Fund. I am super excited to have one of the dopest souls on the planet, and I'm being biased, to join us. And my friend and former colleague from the National Fund, Janelle Thomas, she is the founder of My Collab Partners. My Collab Partners is a consulting company that ignites transformative change in workplace cultures to create more equitable environments where all can thrive. That jives perfectly with what we believe at the National Fund, where our three overarching goals are around race not dictating employment, all jobs are good jobs, and all workers having the resources to thrive. So super to have her here with us today to discuss the role of workplaces and how they can foster LGBTQ plus equity at work. That was a mouthful. JT, what is good?
Everything. Happy to be here. Happy to have this conversation. Excited to dive in. I'm in good company, so I couldn't ask for anything better.
See, this is why I like JT, because this is what you see is what you get. And it's this, right? Like, and I appreciate that about her. You ready to dive in, homie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So this is Pride Month. And, you know, what we've been doing around the anthropology of work on this season of State of Our Workforce is really lifting up various populations as they celebrate achievements and progress for their communities, but also spotlight and highlight challenges and places and on ways that we need to improve to move our work forward towards a more equitable workforce. This month is Pride Month, so we want to lift that up. And we've asked you to hop on and to talk to us, given the work that you do with My Collab Partners. So I'm going to start with my first question. Like, why is it particularly important to focus on LGBTQ plus inclusion in the workplace? And if you could do so by talking about some of the common challenges that folks face in the workplace.
Yeah, you know, it's a challenging question for me because I identify as a Black lesbian woman. And so that question, when I think about particularly important, it feels like I have to parse myself into two or three for that matter and leave an identity behind. But I also think the beauty in that question is that being part of the 2S LGBTQ plus community means that's an identity that's not always visible, right? That can be an invisible identity. And so it really hones in on the importance of intersectionality. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that and knowing that nearly half of 2S LGBTQ plus workers have experienced unfair treatment at work, many 2S LGBTQ plus employees report engaging in covering behaviors to prevent harassment and discrimination. And then we also know that 2S LGBTQ plus people are also experiencing, and who are also part of the global people of the global majority, are more likely to report being denied jobs and experiencing verbal harassment. And so when you layer on those identities, you can't help but to make it a priority to focus on that.
So I'm curious. So I said LGBTQ plus, and you responded by saying 2S LGBTQ plus. So talk to me about the 2S. And yes, let's dig into that.
2S is two-spirited. It's only used by the indigenous community. So only indigenous people will use two-spirited if they're part of the 2S LGBTQ plus community. And so I think it's important because it focuses on decolonization. It honors the people who were here well before other people. And so I think it's important to add that 2S there and make it first.
Right. I mean, so I appreciate that. One of the things that we do, that we're able to do at the National Fund is, again, lift up what works at a national level. But we also understand people are in different places around their equity work. And so when we add the 2S, is that something we should all be doing? And if we don't, will the PC police come for organizations? Should people be scared if they don't do 2S talk? Because people get really nervous about equity conversations, like, and so they tend to not say nothing or what. So let's talk about that.
So I would say, yes, it is something that we should all be doing. And I would also say there should not be PC police. Like, that is just not the way to honor equity. It's not the way to be inclusive. It's not the way to invite people in. We don't need to police people. We need to give people grace and give them a path to learn. And so you may use this and it'll encourage you or push you to learn more about it, right? And open the doors for people that you may not have seen. And so I think that's why it's really important to use the 2SLGBTQ+.
So when we think about creating equitable workplaces, mm-hmm. I'm curious about what it means to incorporate a DEI, REI, DBWI, whatever mm-hmm. alphabet configuration you want to put together around equity. What does it mean to incorporate this lens in designing policies and workplace environments that are suitable or that are appropriate or that support 2SLGBTQ+ workers?
Yeah, and I'll say I'm definitely not part of the PC police. Like I said, they should not be happening at all. I will say you touched on something really interesting, all the letters, right? And so I typically use equity, inclusion, and diversity, and I do it intentionally. There's a reason that I use that. I think if people are out there adding those additional letters, that they need to be intentional about why they're doing it. Like, belonging is a feeling. And so when you put belonging out there, you're not focused on the responsibility that you have to create an inclusive culture.
Okay, so let me just pause again, because I know, like, this has been, like, what I know about you is that the belonging piece is something that you have, that is just not your jam at all. you want to say a little bit more about that? Because I think it's interesting, but I love having these discussions
because belonging is a feeling. And so when you focus on how people need to feel in your culture, you're putting the onus on the people versus putting the onus on the organization. If you create an inclusive culture, the hope is that the outcome is that people will feel that sense of belonging. But being inclusive means that you are creating the policies, the practices, you're looking at your actions, your decisions, your behaviors. And so when you take that, you're saying, you know what, the organization holds power. We're going to create an inclusive culture, and the hope is that people will belong. Now, I'm not saying if you're using belonging, you need to stop using it. What I'm saying is that you need to be intentional and be transparent about what you mean when you say belonging. What is the goal and why have you incorporated that? And that's with all of the acronyms that are being used. Also, I would say, you know, when we talk about an EID lens or a DEI lens, I would encourage people to think of it from the perspective of a framework, because a lens is something you can put on or you can take off, right? You can choose whether or not you use it. A framework is the way that you operate, right? Mm-hmm. It's how you make your decisions, how you're checking your actions, the audits that you do, the policies that you do. And when you're using that framework, you're going to be able to address biases. You're going to be able to ask yourself, who's being burdened by this decision? Who's benefiting from this decision? How are we being inclusive of the voices that are not here and the perspectives that are not here? So that framework really allows you to make decisions in a more equitable way.
Right. So speaking of frameworks, so what do you say to folks who are early in their journey in adopting practices that are supportive of 2SLGBTQ+ folks in the workplace? What's step one? Is there a step one?
Is there a question? I would say a step one is recognizing where you are in the journey, right? You may be in a space where you haven't done an assessment. You don't know who's in your organization, who isn't in your organization. You may be at the phase where you're looking at your policies and you're doing audits and you're saying, you know what, we don't have a transitioning at work policy. Even if you don't have someone who's transitioning, right? You should have that policy in place. Maybe you're auditing your policies to make sure that you're using gender neutral language. Maybe you're looking at the partners that you use, and are they led by people of the global majority or powerful groups targeted for oppression, which some of our listeners may know as marginalized or minority. I use powerful groups targeted for oppression because it's asset-based language. And I think it honors the power that these individuals, including myself, bring to organizations. We think about power in a very positional way when there's power and knowledge, influence, experience. And so that's why I use powerful groups targeted for oppression. But I think, you know, you may be at that phase where you're auditing your policies. You may be at the phase where you're looking in your organization and saying, do we have gender neutral restrooms for people to use? Right. So I think it depends on where you are is based on what you can do.
Yeah. That reminds me, I can't remember what organization or where I heard this from, but they were talking about inclusive workplace practices and they were recruiting, and a person that they were interested in identified as someone in the 2S LGBTQ plus community, but it was in a very, it was in a place where it was low resourced in terms of support. So part of their package, their employment package, in order to draw this person in was to say, we recognize what we're asking you to do or where you're coming. This is how we plan to support you should you choose to join our organization or in joining our organization, right? So I thought that was
it's beautiful. And I mean, not everything requires a ton of resources. Use pronouns.
Yeah.
Educate people on why pronouns are important. That's not going to cost you. Right. That's not something where you have to make a budget to do that, right? You make a policy so that people start using pronouns and you can honor who people are.
Right, right. So we got to step one.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking, I'm not asking you to give a play-by-play, obviously, of what's happening, but I'm just really curious, right? Because there are people, there are organizations who think, oh, no, we're really good in this space. And we're good. But I also think about the safety of it all, right? Like just even if you have that step one in place, the safety around being able to be your full self in the workplace.
Yes.
Is a huge concern.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can have a policy, but you can have a culture, right?
Yeah. And I think, and I think for those organizations who are like, oh, we did this, we're in a good space. I would push them to ask the question, like, are we tying celebrations for Pride Month? Are we tying that to organizational change, right? Are we adding dollars or professional development stipends? Are we moving beyond being an ally and becoming a co-conspirator, right? Mm-hmm. Have we looked at just moving from mentorship to sponsorship? Because we know that the 2S LGBTQ plus community, and if you add on other identities where you experience oppression, you're not in those leadership positions. There's very few that are in leadership positions. So is your organization focused on mentorship where you're just giving guidance? Are you focused on sponsorship where you're connecting people to promotional opportunities? You're connecting them to high level assignments. You're connecting them to people that can help their career grow. So I would push those organizations that are saying, you know what, we're doing all the things, to really take a deeper dive and see how can we uproot systemic oppression.
So that moves sort of into my next question around how organizations, let me get my words out of my mouth in the proper order. How organizations can better support 2S LGBTQ plus colleagues, employees in the workplace beyond Pride Month. Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing about any month, like beyond that, how do we so yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's putting the dollars where they need to go. I think it's not just creating an employee resource group or a business resource group, but you're adding a budget for that, right? For those changes to happen. I think it's looking at what's the systemic impact that you can have. So you're looking at the inequities that are experienced and how your organization can address those inequities. Are you investing in, are you working with partners and investing in businesses that are led by people of the global majority and powerful groups targeted for oppression?
So in a keeping it real space, right? Like, so all of those things make a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. But what we know about workplace, again, and what we know about humans is it's easier said than done. And I'm curious, because you do this work, you're in this space, like this is what your company does, but I'm curious about like the very real challenges that people have to overcome, that organizations have to overcome, and where might there be resources to support? I mean, obviously there are organizations or there are companies like yours, like My Collab Partners, but like people listening to this or watching this on LinkedIn and they get off like, yeah, we need to get busy on this, right? Where do they start? I mean,
I think what's really interesting about that question is when we ask, where do you start? There's an expectation that there's like this very linear approach, right? And people, it's not linear, right? You will make a mistake and need to start over. You may have to circle back. And I think you may have someone listening that is very new to this. And I would anchor into the fact of like, start by speaking up, start by saying like, we need this in our organization. Start by using pronouns, get rid of the dress code policy. I know I have on this nice blazer, but dressing up is not the thing. And so, you know, get rid of the policy if you don't need the policy. And if you do need it, let's say for safety reasons, you need a dress code policy, give a stipend for people to be a part of that policy, right? To adhere to that policy. And so I think, you know, when I think about starting places, you got to know where you are, right? You got to know where you came from to know where you're going. And so I think that that's really key.
And I also think when we think about all workers having resources to thrive, which is what you focus on in your company, and is again, one of the goals that we have at the National Fund, we think about folks who already have a stack of barriers facing them around a whole host of issues. You talk about the intersectionality of oppressed peoples, right? I wonder, I mean, I think it's to talk about these policies and procedures and what we can do are easier to discuss in some workplace arenas than others, right? And so, I don't know, I'm just curious about what that means for workers where safety overall is an issue and how one broaches the subject. And this is really about shifting power, right? This is about workplace, like this is about worker voice, worker being able to express yourself, stand up for yourself. And just, we work with collaboratives across the country and they work with employers on the ground. But I'm really curious about what it looks like to start the conversation. And I've mentioned this in a couple of places where it's really, really tough to dig in.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. I think, you know, if you're having trouble starting the conversation, you want to start having the conversation with yourself, right? You want to ask yourself, like, have I reviewed my identities and where I experience privilege and where I experience oppression? You want to practice exercising that muscle and having those conversations. You want to be incorporating EID into your meeting culture, right? You want to practice having those conversations. You want to be asking people who hold those identities to share their experiences. But also, I have to say, there's a lot of resources online. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a narrative that goes around that this work is so challenging. This work is so hard. And it's not.
Okay.
It's not. You know, finance can be hard. Engineering can be hard. But we don't stop doing those things, right? We still do them. We push forward. We get the information that we need to implement the practices that we need. And so I think looking at this in the same way, you know, we're talking about humanity.
Sure.
We're talking about honoring people's humanity. And so when we're talking about putting a policy in place, we do sexual harassment training. I'm sure at some point someone was saying that's difficult, that's hard to implement, but we do it consistently. So I think we have to have the same mindset when it comes to equity.
Right. And so I was about to push back on that thought, but then you brought it back to me. Well, no, because I do think you can have the policies, but again, culture comes into play as well, right? And so like that, I think, is what can be hard or frightening or challenging. And again, nothing that can be, I mean, I just really want to lift that up and encourage folks who are into
what makes the work beautiful.
Yeah.
And why I can say it's not challenging is because it's about having a collective. It's about collaboration. It's about connecting with people. You don't have to do it by yourself. You shouldn't do it by yourself. You shouldn't be doing it alone, right? I don't have every single answer. I have a team. I have people that I connect with. I have friends, you know, so I'm not doing this work alone.
Right.
If I was, I would be doing it wrong.
Right, right. Which is why it's called My Collab Partners. So you understand that, like, JT and I have these conversations all the time, and I really do appreciate digging into various topics with her. And this is one of many that we have offline and we will continue to have moving forward. But we are at time. But before we go, JT, I want to give you the last word. What's the call to action here?
I think the call to action, you know, I've shared a lot of different things. I think the call to action, and I want to honor Audre Lorde, who is a Black lesbian intersectional feminist. And she said, when we speak, we are afraid our words will not be heard or welcomed. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So it is better to speak. And so that's the call to action, is speak about this, bring it up, have the conversations, step into the space where you feel vulnerable and afraid, and do the thing that needs to be done so that people can be seen, heard, and felt, and honored.
Word. All right, JT, I don't need to say anything else. I'll let us end on that beautiful note. Again, one of the dopest souls on the planet. We will make the information around her, her company, available to you on LinkedIn and on YouTube if you wanna learn more about what My Collab Partner does. Thank you, JT. I appreciate you deep.
I just got to say, it takes a dope soul to know a dope soul. So thank you. It's always a good time.
We should call this Two Dope Souls Chatting. But anyways, all right, JT, be well. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Likewise.
Join us next. We're taking July off, and we'll be back in August. So in the meantime, if you are missing us, and I know you probably are, I mean, you can just go check us out on any of our your favorite streaming platforms and listen to some of our previous episodes, the state of our workforce. We will be back here in August. Have a great July and peace.
State of Our Workforce, Where Are We Now? Is a production of the National Fund for Workforce Solutions. This episode was produced by Josh Enoch. The music in this episode is produced by Alex Productions. You can find past episodes of State of Our Workforce on our website at www.nationalfund.org. State of Our Workforce is also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you may listen. State of Our Workforce airs live monthly on LinkedIn. Follow the National Fund for Workforce Solutions on LinkedIn to get updates about the next live recording of State of Our Workforce.